Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Got a good week for you. LSU takes another SEC series, 2 out of 3 with Auburn at home in the box. Also, we had the NFL draft. A lot of good news out of that. And I don't know if there's much else beyond that, but if there is, we'll cover it for you. Guys, good to be back with you again. I hope all is well. I think it was a good weekend for LSU baseball all around. Great weekend for the NFL draft for everyone involved, but particularly a few of our Tigers. But always something different with the NFL draft, right? I mean, it was in Detroit this weekend. I guess Eminem was a headliner. That kind of cool. I mean, Roger Goodell is always going to get the Goodell treatment, but I don't know. I mean, I think it was a good draft by LSU and SEC standards, but good to talk with you all about it. How y'all doing?
Yeah. Good to be with you. LSU, putting together a number of first round picks, which is the standard here, but also exciting. Decent weekend on the diamond at the box. Excited to talk about it with you.
Mm-hmm. It was certainly a fun draft, as LSU put together probably their best class since the 2020 draft class, with Joe Burrow after the national championship. So, with Jaden Daniels going all the way up at number 2, and then a few other first rounders as well. Wish we could have gotten the big sweep on the diamond, but got 2 or 3, and we can break that down for y'all now. So, a lot happening.
Indeed, a lot happening, and LSU spring football's still going on. Well, I mean, it's over for spring technically, but just football is always going. Brian Kelly was given some comments. Now, as far as baseball goes, I know Tommy, you kind of downgraded it to, yeah, it was an okay weekend, and actually, I agree with you because Auburn was probably the worst team in the league, if nothing else, just based off their. I mean, they only had 2 conference wins heading into this series.
Yep.
And we actually gave them their 3rd. So we are responsible for 33% of their wins this year, which, it's like, you can't win every game of every series. So, yeah, it's great to get the series win, but still, it's like, it just kind of goes to show you we're good sometimes, but in other times we're just downright awful. Giving up 1 to Missouri, I think, also qualifies. But it was our 3rd day pitching, whatever you want to call it. LSU, kind of down. We went from 5-0 to walking it off in the 9th with game 3-2, and then this one 7-5. I mean, it wasn't at least we weren't run ruled like we have been in game 3s in the previous series this season. But still, giving up 1 to Auburn, I don't know. It just kind of shows where we are. But I guess positively, there's still
it's a series win to go. SEC.
Yeah, exactly. It's then there's 3 more to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I take the good and the bad. Like I said, it's a series win in the SEC. That's good for us. But I mean, Daniel, we were talking about it last night after finishing the game. I think Daniel, you said it, this team just doesn't have a killer instinct like last year's team or other teams of the past that we've seen. I'm not saying that they're, it's not really a knock on them. I mean, I guess it is, but it's not. Some teams just don't have it, and we've talked about it after the Missouri series. Then the same thing with this series. You kind of needed a sweep. If they were consistently winning series, then this losing one wouldn't really be that big of a deal. But we can't buy a win against some of the teams that we've played before. So we really needed to sweep just to kind of solidify our position, hopefully be able to make a run in the postseason. The other thing that's disappointing, Scott, like you said, you know, you start off with a very good game in Friday's performance, and then, like you said, you have to walk it off at home on Saturday night with a guy pitching who, I mean, at the start of the season, Holman was like your ace, it looked like. You know, now he's your Saturday night guy. And then, I mean, today it's just, I mean, I guess we kind of battled back, which was fine. But I mean, at one point, wasn't it 5-0?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just kind of, I mean, it's a disappointing year. This is a disappointing series, but probably, you know, one of the better series that we've seen in maybe a month.
Yeah. Last week against Missouri and then this past weekend against Auburn were two that the LSU faithful had circled on their calendars for quite some time now, knowing that these teams were not the most formidable in the SEC and opportunities for us to get a sweep and pad the stats a little bit, because looking at the record, like a W is a W. It doesn't really matter who you beat in terms of like winning percentage for SEC playoffs. And then possibly in the NCAA tournament, they look at the SEC record, and I don't know if it's really conventional wisdom, but the number has been thrown about that we would need to get to around 13 SEC wins on the season to have a pretty decent resume for the NCAA tournament. And after this past week, we are at 7 wins with 3 series to go, which means we have to win 6 out of the last 9. So we have to win every single series coming up. And that's not too bright when next week is the number one team in the country, Texas A&M, coming to Baton Rouge, followed by kind of middle of the pack, Alabama and Ole Miss. But either way, we got 2 out of 3. Wish we could have gotten the last one, but the Sunday game was pretty much over before it started, as Auburn scored 5 in the first inning, and then it was like, oh, here we go. So we used up all our juice on Saturday night with the Josh Pearson walk-off, and those games we played pretty well Friday and Saturday. We got another good outing from Gage Jump as well as Luke Holman. Jump really getting solidified in the last couple weeks, and then on offense, a number of solo home runs, which continues to be a trend for us. Jared Jones and Tommy White going back-to-back solo shots in the Saturday game. Another bright spot being Ashton Larson, who we've called out multiple times, had 6 hits on the weekend and a number of RBIs as a true freshman. So he's really earned his starting spot and will continue to do so even into next season. So that'll be somebody that Jay Johnson can build around. But yeah, we're gonna have to put on the afterburners in the home stretch here. At least we do get A&M at home. So really, I mean, 2 wins out of 3 there would be ideal. But even just if you can get 1 and then hope you sweep either Bama or Ole Miss is kind of the last gasp scenario. At least we're not in the bottom 2 in the SEC anymore, so we're in position to make the SEC tournament. That would be a complete embarrassment if we were completely wiped off the board and didn't even go to Hoover.
Right, but at least a complete embarrassment was averted, because we were able to win the series against the worst, you know, some of the worst teams in Auburn and Missouri last 2 weeks. Yeah, we have A&M at home this weekend. Hopefully that can work in our favor. We'll see. Hopefully it's, you know, Cinco de Mayo on Saturday. The Tiger fans come out and show out like we know they will, and just turn the box into Tiger Stadium and just deafen the game that's going on. There's also the fact that, you know, we do have to travel to Alabama, but for the last series with Ole Miss, we will be at home. So hopefully that can work out into the Tigers' favor. Yeah, it seems like Gage Jump is our guy now, and Holman is our second day guy, whether it's Friday or Saturday. Third day, I don't know. It's like we have Thatcher Hurd doing kind of cleanup duties. So, I mean, it could be whoever, but at least we're getting some good innings out of some guys. Even Tommy, I'm sure you're delighted. Christian Little had a good outing this weekend.
I was literally about to say it. Did you notice what had changed about him?
What?
He was wearing goggles.
Oh.
And I was wondering, is this a vision thing? Not been able to see for the past, you know, year and a half he's been with LSU, and now he's put on some glasses? And he's like, oh, I know where the strike zone is now.
Right, like Wild Thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like yeah, a major league.
That'd be great if that was the case. But I feel like, yeah, I mean, there's some moments where the Tigers could really show out offensively where they just, they still haven't. Like we're, like you, someone said earlier, we're hitting a lot of solo home runs, but man, just to give credit where credit's due, there's some noteworthy ones this week. Like Jared Jones hit one over the center field, I guess what they call the eye black, where it's just, you know, that yeah. black tarp back there behind the pitcher so the batters can see the ball. Like he hit it over that. It's probably still coming to a complete stop somewhere.
And then Tommy White hit a person.
He did. He did. And he actually got he met him again this weekend, and dude got a t-shirt and a glove from Mariucci Sports to kind of catch the next one so it didn't bounce off his noggin again. And I'm glad you brought it up, because a lot of people were saying, hey, maybe this is one of those moments during the season where LSU has some freak event that kind of turns the season towards their favor, you know, a la a possum rally or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I think we would have swept Auburn if that was the case. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great moment. I mean, Tommy White hit a great home run, bounced off a dude's head. They made a thing about it. He got to meet him a few days later, got a T-shirt that says, I think I took a hit from a tank and kept on going or something like that. But anyway, he got a glove out of it, got to meet Tommy. Good for them.
Yeah.
At least LSU got 2 out of 3. Would have been great to get 3 out of 3, but yeah, I guess that's who we are, but still a lot of good things to report. I got to say, really good defense, you know, from the Tigers in the outfield, a little good, some good hitting, you know, we saw with Josh Pearson. We saw some good defense from Michael Braswell also. So I feel like if the Tigers can just kind of use these last 3 weeks to formulate what they've, the good things they have going, maybe they could pull off like a Ole Miss, you know, like their run to the title where
I was literally, so I was at a,
sorry to steal your thunder.
I was at a high school baseball game watching LSU commits play. And there were some people talking behind me. And the guy was like talking about LSU, and the guy was like, well, I mean, like they have the same record that Ole Miss had when at this point in the season when they went on their run. So do I think it's going to happen? I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I hadn't really thought about it that way until I heard him say that.
Yeah,
we have the bats, but I think my main concern is our back end pitching. Like we got Gage Jump and Luke Holman, and then relief, maybe Griffin Herring, and then a kind of a bunch of guys after that. So, and the pitching is what really matters if you're going deep in the postseason. So I'm not sure that can stack up against some stronger competition. Obviously that's a long way from now, right now we're just battling to even make the postseason, but hard to get too optimistic, but there's always a spark of life and it's not over till it's over. So that would be a big juice to the program if we could win the series against number one A&M, and at least that would be a rallying cry for a season that's otherwise been mostly forgettable.
Right. Yeah. But remember how it happened last year is like, we knew we had Paul Skeens, and then there was probably one pitcher behind him we knew we could count on. I think this year it started with Holman. Now it's kind of become Gage Jump, but then we also have Holman behind him. So if you think about it, if LSU finishes the season winning 2 out of 3, the last few series, that's all you need. I mean, if you want to win the SEC, obviously you'd need more than 2 out of 3, but once you get to Omaha, like, yeah, if you can just get through the first few rounds, once you get to the title game, it's the best 2 out of 3. That's all you need. But obviously, yeah, you need some guys to step up here and there. And we had that last year. But again, it's like we've started over because Thatcher Hurd, who was that guy in the College World Series for us, I don't know if he's regressed or if it's a new season for him. So he's got just something different going on. But like if he could step up towards the end, if we go to the postseason and need him, yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe that'll hurt.
No, agree. That's what we need. We need some people to step up. Or or let's just, you know, chalk this one and say let's work on next year.
Yeah, can we just go to the NIT? Is there one?
Really?
Probably not. That's all right. I don't know. Anything else? Because yeah, it's weird because a few weeks, like LSU's had this slate of top 10 teams. We had Arkansas, who was number one at the time. We had Tennessee. We had help me. Who else am I forgetting?
Florida
also in the top 10 at the time. So it's like now we have number one A&M, who was not number one at the time, but now they are. So it's just another one. But if we can get two out of three at home, great. I don't know. I feel like if we could just make the postseason, that would be a win.
Right. That wasn't our expectations going into the season, but the goalposts have moved and trying to spin it a little bit positive. Positive note for Thatcher Hurd. He somehow got the win in the Saturday game after facing one batter, which is the last batter of the game. Luke Holman throws 6 2/3 of two hit ball and gets a no decision while Thatcher Hurd gets the win with the one batter faced. So good for him.
And he did well the weekend before. I think I don't know if he got the win, but he at least shut him down to get the game. But yeah, and Jay Johnson is happy. I mean, obviously it's not going to be like last year, but I think if he can just get through this year, make the postseason, so it's not like one of those other programs that just doesn't even show up. So kind of like Kim Mulkey and the Lady Tigers basketball team, if they can at least get to the postseason, get beyond the first round, I think everyone will understand. And we'll look forward to next year with a lot of other great recruits. But you got to say, the freshmen that LSU has, like Milam and Larson, it's going to look good for years to come if they all stay.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I think that Milam was also worth a mention as far as you talk about the defensive. I mean, he had a great defensive weekend.
Yeah.
He's always solid at second base, but
Plus Jay Johnson has showed he's very willing to go in the portal and get top talent. So there's could be stars on LSU's team who aren't even on our radar at this point that they come in the offseason, like Paul Skeens or Tommy White or Gage Jump and Luke Holman. These were not homegrown LSU players, so the team could have a completely different look and hopefully new and improved at that point.
Yep.
Amen. Speaking of new and improved, I imagine that's what a lot of NFL teams are feeling after this weekend, since we just had the NFL draft. It's their chance to show their prowess of all these expert opinions and all these great college players that are making the jump to the NFL. And LSU had a good few. I think we knew we were going to have at least two, probably three first rounders. We did have three. And of course, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr., in that order. And I think Jaden Daniels at number two is probably, I don't know. I mean, it was more or less a foregone conclusion with Caleb Williams at number one, right? Although some other things going on, like just his demand that he's like a stake owner in the team and just other things. I don't know. Plus it's the NFL draft, right? Anything could happen. But as it worked out, Caleb Williams went one, Jaden Daniels number two, and everything after Drake May was three, right? So everything kind of played out more or less to plan. Everything after that was based on what people needed. Malik Nabers was top five, right? He went to the Giants. Then Brian Thomas much later with the Jaguars, but still a great first rounder. And believe it or not, LSU having three first round picks, that's actually kind of rare, right? All the talent that LSU puts into the NFL, you'd think we'd have more than three first rounders consistently, but not the case.
Daniel, you said that's the first time since 2020.
I'm not quite sure about the actual results, but I was saying on the whole, like this is probably our best draft class since then.
Yeah. No, I agree. And you know, congratulations to all of them. Mason Smith goes late in the second round. It's kind of a fall from where we thought he'd be when he committed, you know, from South Terrebonne High School.
Yeah.
but still, yeah, pretty high for him after what we'd seen this past year. So
absolutely.
Jacksonville liked his physical traits, but yeah, three first rounders was good. I was just looking at the 2020 class. We had five first rounders, Burrow, actually the second LSU guy picked was Kalamon Chaisson at number 20. Mm-hmm. And then Justin Jefferson.
Didn't he also go to the Jaguars?
Yeah. And then Justin Jefferson to the Vikings, Patrick Queen to the Ravens, and then Clyde with the 32 pick to the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the good class and excited for Jaden Daniels. He was kind of swagged out at the draft with his chain and his sunglasses on inside. I'm not sure if LSU fans will be chomping at the bit to buy Daniels Washington Commanders jerseys, kind of like they were doing with Joe Burrow Cincinnati Bengals jerseys in 2020, but it would be okay. Maybe if they were still the Washington football team, then I would consider splurging. But the Jaguars got a nice little run of three straight players with Brian Thomas and then Mason Smith and then Jordan Jefferson. So they're loading up on Bayou talent for what that's worth. Maybe Doug Peterson is aware of what we got going on.
Did you see that he drafted a guy that he like coached in high school?
No, that's pretty cool though.
I want to say I saw something. The guy didn't get LSU. The guy went to another school, but they ended up drafting a guy who I think had gone through Calvary or he had some sort of connection to Louisiana from when Doug Peterson was like here, which is kind of cool. But yeah.
And then Malik Nabers getting drafted by the Giants. He'll have to kind of carry Daniel Jones as his quarterback. I saw a clip of Malik Nabers meeting Daniel Jones and he did not seem that enthusiastic. He was like, I got to catch balls for this guy. But maybe he can turn things around in the Meadowlands. And yeah, excited to see how these guys shake out this fall in the NFL. Hopefully Jaden Daniels can stay healthy and be productive on the field. Washington as a team isn't the best all around, so he'll have to show off his talents. And I mean, with the arsenal that he has, offensive rookie of the year isn't out of the question. But on the whole, the draft was pretty good. Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. With the big kind of surprise was the Falcons reaching up for Michael Penix at number 8. I was like, what are they doing here? Yeah. But
they
I guess
when they just got what's his name, Kirk Cousins,
and Kirk Cousins was not pleased about that, supposedly and understandably.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he had some words for the management there. So things are always weird in Atlanta. We'll see what quarterback they have when the Saints face him.
Why does he care? He's getting paid like a bajillion dollars to be a middling quarterback
because he wants to be the guy. Same in pro, same in college. That's what they want. I mean, they're both getting paid now, so that's like the standard, right? That's expected, but they want to be the guy.
Yeah, I feel like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr are kind of the same person. And I don't see Derek Carr. If you could have drafted a quarterback and Derek Carr be like, okay, cool. Like, sounds good.
Surprised the Saints didn't, right?
I know, really.
I was going to ask you guys, speaking of like, lowered expectations, like how you felt about the Saints draft, because again, it's one of those drafts where I don't know, I think you'd mentioned it, Daniel, where it's like they kind of underwhelm with the picks, but the Saints have a somewhat sordid history of like finding diamonds in the draft too. It's like if whoever they pick turns out to be like a Willie Rofe in a Hall of Famer, great. Otherwise, you know, what are they doing there? It's like we have a new coach, new, I don't know, just, I don't know. But again, it seems like one of those same old drafts where there wasn't like a, I don't know, like a name where you can get excited about, right? It just was underwhelming.
Yeah, the Saints, well, their problem was they didn't have that many picks. They had, in the first round, they took, probably going to butcher it, but Taliesa Fuwaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. So that one's not lighting up the sexy draft board, but I guess if you get a big guy in the trenches and a left tackle who you can rely on for years to come, then that's not the end of the world. Their quarterback situation is just kind of what's holding them back a little bit right now, and a lot of people were hoping that they would get some sort of offensive skill player to boost that production because their offense was pretty mediocre last year. But we'll see. And then they did take Spencer Rattler, quarterback, in the fifth round out of South Carolina by way of Oklahoma, who was a highly touted recruit out of high school and then got beat out by eventual number one pick Caleb Williams at Oklahoma, which is why he transferred. So if they can squeeze a little bit of juice out of that, then that would be good, but he'll be pretty far down the pecking order after Derek Carr and Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, I suppose.
Well, Jameis is gone.
Oh yeah, you're right. Getting my history confused.
They've got a number of people. We talked about it yesterday. They got Kellen Mond, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's still on the team. I don't know. Who knows? I think my big takeaway from the Saints draft is the Kool-Aid McKinstry pick. I like that. I liked him in college. I thought he was good.
Yeah, cornerback from Alabama. Got that Nick Saban pedigree, which is something that not that many players will be able to say anymore.
True. Yeah. He's big, you know, big kind of physical corner. And so I like that. We'll see how he does in the league though.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, speaking of like Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma, the whole that, you know, their Lincoln Riley connection, dude has now 3 first round quarterback picks.
Which not just first round, but number one overall. Picks.
Right. Sorry. That's what I meant. Number one picks, which you would think would allude to the, okay, this guy is a QB whisperer. I mean, it's different once you get to the pros, because obviously it's their time to shine. He's not there with them, but I mean, it's also not college. So it's like he's had 3 number one picks, Mayfield, Murray, and now Williams. But it's like, if that itself was a title, great, but it's not. So now what is there, you know? But still, just one of those quarterback or football stats that doesn't really mean anything, but it stands out, you know?
Yeah. And I had a question for y'all. I already have my answer, but I want to, who do you think of this LSU draft class is going to be, is going to make the most impact? Is Jaden going to, you know, live up to number two overall? Or is it somebody else? Because I think my answer, I think it's going to be Brian Thomas. Especially like initially, because I think he's had a better setup in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence and a few other offensive weapons with ETN. And I think he's got the build to really be like a pretty solid NFL player. So that's my pick.
Yeah, I can see that with Brian Thomas, because like you said, Trevor Lawrence is probably more reliable of a quarterback than Daniel Jones in New York throwing to Malik Nabers. And Brian Thomas won't be leaned on quite so heavily right out of the gate, because they've got Calvin Ridley and a few other weapons. So he can focus on being maybe kind of the vertical red zone threat, which is the role he succeeded in the most at LSU. I hope Jaden Daniels has a big impact for the Commanders, and they do have some other weapons as well. Terry McLaurin and Brian Robinson and running back, but yeah, not quite so good across the board. Malik Nabers is kind of a tough fit, because we kind of ragged on Daniel Jones, but the Giants as an organization are not so hot right now, and anybody else down the line probably won't get as much playing time. So it's among those three. I was at least Jaden Daniels, he didn't go number one, so he wouldn't have been the fourth LSU player to go number one after Burrow, Jamarcus Russell, and Billy Cannon. So I mean, there's some highs and some lows in there.
Yeah.
He won't be
one
known
low. One low is still there in Ohio, right? In Cincinnati right now, according to Daniel.
Exactly. Hopefully he can turn that around after a little bit of a down year in 2023.
He was injured.
But being injured is a problem, and as an NFL quarterback with a gigantic contract, you're making like $60 million a year. They pay you to be on the field.
Yeah, but well, they should also pay some linemen to like protect you.
Yeah, so give them some protection. Injured.
That's true.
I mean, the dude took him to the Super Bowl his first year.
They did. They did draft Amarius Mims, gigantic tackle from Georgia, with their first round pick. The Bengals did, so I'm sure Burrow appreciates that.
Saban doesn't. He was trashing him. He's like, eh, yeah, that guy didn't show up in big games. All right, he took himself out of games. He, in the pros, you got to be better than that. I was like, wow.
Saban's just going to hate on everyone now for the analyst. Yeah.
Saban's unleashed now.
He's SHIT posting, because that's all he needs to do, really.
Well, as long as he takes care of his chores, then Miss Terry lets him go play golf.
Right.
So.
Got to clean the boat.
Yeah.
All right. So you brought it up earlier, and since I, you know, I'm in the Atlanta area, I've heard about it explicitly. So it was kind of peculiar that the Falcons, you know, got Kirk Cousins, spent a lot of money on him, brought him down. It seemed like a great organizational move, great move for his family. You know, it's like, we're investing in you, you're, you know, uprooting your family for us, and then they're gonna take the first pick and their team's first pick and go and get Michael Penix Jr., which, you know, hey, it's kind of a wild card pick. This I mean, the guy looked, I don't know, he had some flashes, right, in the college football playoffs. He kind of looked like Michael Vick back there in some respects, just kind of, he was like slinging it, sidearm slinging it. But it was evident because they were showing video of Arthur Blank going up to Terry Fontenot, the general manager, and like, hey, what the F was that? And he's like, all right, see, what happened was, you know, it's like he has to explain it to him, and kind of like the rest of us. It's like, you just invested all this time and money into Kirk Cousins, and your first pick you draft, obviously it took Cousins off guard because, you know, he made a comment about it. It's like, it's just, it doesn't make sense, because why would you not tell him, first of all, or why would you not tell your owner? Because obviously he seemed thrown off by it, but typical Falcons. As a Saints fan, I do not mind this at all, but still, it's just from an organizational standpoint, like, why? I don't know. I guess it just kind of shows why the Falcons are the Falcons, and why, like, the leading online force of that organization or that fan base is someone called the Falcoholic. But it just boggles the mind. Like, why would you choose some? I mean, he's a good player, right? Yeah. But round.
Yeah, it is strange. And I like Michael Penix as a guy and a quarterback. He's got maybe one of the best, if not the best, like, deep ball arm in the class. But as an NFL prospect, it's hard to put all your eggs in that basket, in my opinion, considering he's blown out the same knee twice. He was in college for 6 years, so he's kind of got the late start into the NFL, which doesn't always work out. I mean, it could be good to get more experience, I guess, but and then he's not a mobile quarterback. He goes for basically zero rushing yards, which you don't have to be a running quarterback. Tom Brady didn't, but and Peyton Manning didn't. But in the modern NFL, like, it helps to be a
different time then.
Yeah, it helps to be a dynamic playmaker, as people are saying, as Jaden Daniels was like comparing himself to Lamar Jackson and even Michael Vick. And so that's a completely different skill set and one that Michael Penix doesn't really have. So I wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he at least gets a fair shake at it, but a little bit weird. There was a lot of buzz in the pre-draft stuff about where J.J. McCarthy from Michigan was going to go, with some people even thinking he might go all the way up to number two. And that didn't happen. I think he came in at like 11 to the Chargers, or no, 10 to the Chargers. So what am I talking about? To the Vikings, not the Chargers.
I was going to say, that'd be a weird pick.
Well, that's Harbaugh's pick, though, so it wouldn't be that weird.
No, it would have been like, oh, wait, that kind of makes sense. But then it would have been like, wait, is there really trouble? Is there some trouble with Herbert and Harbaugh already?
Right.
Apparently some teams were trying to trade for Herbert, like on draft day, but the Chargers didn't hear the right offer for him, so I think they're probably fine sticking with their guy.
Yeah, you didn't really see any, like, big trade-up moves, right? Like, there wasn't any big splashes. It was kind of draft as usual. Yeah.
It is exciting when somebody like mortgages the house to move up like three spots, like they did, the 49ers did for Trey Lance a few years ago, and the Bears did for Mr. Trubisky, and there's been a few others, like the Saints doing it for Ricky Williams back in the day is like the most famous one, where they sent every single pick to move up like one spot. But yeah, this is fairly standard.
On the other side of it, when Burrow was going, wasn't there like a whole thing of like the people who were going to, like, there were going to be people who would give everything to the Bengals for that number one spot? And then there was like, I remember there was like talk of like, there was a team who had like the third pick. They wanted to get to one, but not to take Burrow, to take somebody else, Chase Young maybe or something. And then they were going to like, and then it was like, are the Bengals going to take that and then like gamble and be like, okay, maybe Burrow is available at three. I remember something about that. I mean, it didn't happen obviously, but
yeah, the big one in this class was the Panthers trading away the number one pick to the Bears. A while back, so it wasn't like draft day special.
Because they, like me, still believe in Bryce Young.
Why?
I hope so. They didn't give him much to work with last year, and he didn't make the most of what he had. So there's a lot of room for improvement.
Right. As in maybe double-digit wins or like 500-plus percentage.
Yeah, it can only go up.
Exactly. Other than that, what else? Anything else stood out to you guys? I mean, LSU had a good day overall, I think. And, yeah, I'd say it's kind of like any other NFL draft where we'll see how it works out next year. Everyone can speculate on the picks themselves, but it really shows when the rubber hits the road in the NFL season, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's it. Another thing was, I think Detroit was a pretty good site for it. They had a ton of people out there, especially on the first day, even standing out in the cold. So they showed up for their guys. So
was it supposed to be, it was cold there?
Well, I mean, I just saw people like in jackets and stuff. Oh, okay. And it's in Detroit, so it's not like,
oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Miami Beach or anything.
It's almost but Canada.
There was a ton of people, so they enjoyed it. And next year it's in Green Bay, which should be pretty interesting. See how they turn up.
Yeah. That will be interesting. I just, it's kind of, we're hitting like another, we hit the spring game, like 2 weeks ago, now the NFL draft. It's like those milestones are coming in to where we're getting to the point where it'll be like in May, end of May, June soon. And that's when camp starts heating up. You start hearing about, oh man, is this guy going to make weight? Maybe he's a little too big, something like that.
Right. Who's holding out?
Yeah,
I guess that's kind of stuff. Not the college, but yeah.
Well, hey, not yet.
That's true.
Haven't heard it yet.
Players opting out for a bigger NIL deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so with the transfer portal and just kind of how the draft works, do you think they would ever just kind of combine those ideas and maybe college just has like instead of you could have your recruiting season?
Mm-hmm.
But then after the season's over, you could have like, instead of a transfer portal,
you just enter your name into like a pool, like a draft.
It's a draft. Yeah, exactly.
How would you allocate picks though?
Just kind of like you do with the NFL. It's like whoever has the best record gets the higher draft pick. We could do lottery balls if you want, but.
Well, no, but my point is like, okay, like what if LSU is like 9-4 or something?
So then, they would be like, well, Ian, like how many picks do you like, since there's 120, 30, whatever, like, do you do it by conference?
That was kind of my point is like, okay. If LSU is like, you know, a better than average team in the SEC, but then, you know, Tulane goes 11-1 or something in the AAC. Yeah.
You could maybe do it like a fantasy auction draft where every team gets like 100 like points or something like to bid on players, and you could put all your eggs in one basket, like the number one quarterback, or you could spread them out against other kind of smaller players, and then the person goes to the highest bidder, and that would be kind of crazy.
Yeah,
I think it would have to be. I think if you're going to do it, you have to do it by conference, and so like. They would have the players would have to choose like which conference draft to enter. That would actually be kind of cool because then you'd have a little more stakes on like, because it'd be like, okay, you can either go through recruitment like you normally do as a freshman or as a high school and you pick your school. But if you're not happy, maybe you end up at a better spot. Maybe you don't. But like there's a risk in that, which kind of forces you to like think twice before just being like, okay, portal.
Right. Or like Eli and you like, I will go anywhere but the Giants or whoever. I'm sorry, not Giant, but who you like, it's like they can have a say. It's like, you can draft him first, but he can opt out. He's like, I don't want to go there.
I mean, that would, but then you kind of end up like, what was it? Eric Gilbert. Like you could easily have a guy who just kind of like falls off completely.
Yeah.
Cause he like won't play.
Right.
Exactly. That is an interesting concept. I kind of like the idea as we workshop it more. Let me go talk to Greg Sankey about it.
Talk to Verge. We'll run it up the flagpole of the
NCAA. Yeah, we'll go from Verge. I'll talk to Verge, then I'll talk to Scott.
Yeah.
And then we'll get to Scott Woodward. I'm talking to Scott right now.
Okay, exactly. Anyway, yeah, I think that'd be a great idea. And I don't know. What else? Did we kind of cover everything, or did you guys have something else?
I think that's it. Baseball fans, tune in this weekend or attend the game if you're in the Baton Rouge area.
Exactly.
Enjoy the rest of the season.
Grambling on Tuesday and then the big series against A&M. Good luck to our Tigers. And let's hope we can get it done.
I think Tommy just said it all. So until then, tune in next week. We'll have it all for you. The recap of LSU series against number one A&M. Anything else that comes down the pike. So until then, stay safe. Stay tuned. And we will talk to you next week, next time, right here on Talking Tigs.